Okay, well, it's in a little bit of a quick turnaround for us today, coming off the night practice, so we're kind of, putting together a morning of watching the film from last night, correcting mistakes, and moving on to new installation, new things we need to work on today. So, we got a big kind of three-day period here coming up today, tomorrow, and Saturday to try to say, for the most part, not completely, but for the most part, finishing up getting our situations taught and continue to rep the things that we've put in to polish those up a little bit. And then next week really will be, 3 days to, start to prepare our team for what we'll see Thursday night with the Packers. So that's kind of the mode we're in. The NFL officials will be here for the next 3 days, so that'll give us a good opportunity to let them watch us and educate us on what we are and aren't doing properly in their eyes. Also to just kind of have NFL officials handle the mechanics of no huddle or 2 minute or those kind of situations that are somewhat timing oriented. So we'll try to take advantage of that and. That's pretty much where we are.
Bill, what have you done to this point with the officials, if anything? Have they talked to you at all?
They're here for 3 days. Today's the first day.
Bill, what do you think of Jimmy Garoppolo's play thus far and last night in particular?
I think all of our players are making progress. I think they have all the ones that are out there. We have a few guys that haven't been out there, but the ones that are out there are making progress. There's a lot of different units or different groupings, guys working together, a lot of different timing. And so that's something that we've all got to get used to at whatever position we're talking about, offensive line, defensive secondary, defensive line, passing game. So. I think Jimmy's working hard. I think he's making progress, and I think that's what the guys that are out there are doing. I don't think any of us are really ready to play yet. We have another week for that, or coach, as it applies. So we'll just keep working to that point, and then we'll get a better idea of how all that comes together when we actually play out there in a competitive situation.
Do you think he's been hesitant at all in his decision-making and his throws?
No.
Bill, talking about situations and special teams last night, we saw a lot of it. I know you talked about the extra points, but the fact that this year that the defense can score at snap blocking, do you have to devote extra attention to that, to the fire drill, so to speak, with the new rule for DATs?
I would say not really, because it's the same thing as field goals. So now we just treat PATs as field goals instead of separating them. So it's really the same thing.
Bill, any update on Julian's status? We haven't seen
him
in the last 2 days.
Day-to-day.
Bill, over the years, you've seen different guys, running backs, different shapes and sizes, pass protect for you guys in the office. I'm just wondering what maybe the biggest challenge is for a running back in that role as a blocker, essentially.
I'd say the number one challenge, the first thing, is to get the right guy, based on the call. The identification of the defensive personnel, and then post-snap, what happens if they cross, the two guys come in the same gap. I mean, if they just all go straight ahead, that's fairly straightforward. But when more than one comes, or when they come in different locations, or they're up in the line and they drop out, or they start in one place in the line and come somewhere else, just getting it right that's challenge number one. And then, of course, challenge number two is physically, getting the player blocked, which there's a lot of different aspects to that. Certainly cut blocking is something that a lot of backs do on blitz pickup, but not something that we would practice, even though we might do it in the game. So, there's a game aspect to it, and then there's also a practice aspect to it. But the fundamentals of pass protection are still, what they are. Getting your body between the man you're blocking and the quarterback, and protecting the inside part of the pocket, and handling the power rush, and then being able to adjust to some type of rush that's not a power rush, some kind of edge rush or spin move or whatever it is. So, then are all those components.
Bill,
But number one's getting the right guy, and number two is, you know, being able to physically keep him away from the quarterback long enough to execute the play.
How difficult is that to work on at a time of year like now?
Now's a good time to work on it. Now's the best time to work on it. Now's honestly the, I don't want to say the only time, but it's definitely the best time to work on it. I can't really do it in the spring. I mean, we can do assignments in the spring, but there's no physical contact. And during the season, there's limited physical contact opportunities. So this is the time to, this is the time to do it, just like everything else. And it's the time to build your any fundamentals that involve contact, whether it's punt protection, pass protection, defeating blockers, tackling, you know, whatever involves contact. You've got, you know, your training camp practices, and then a minimal number of practices during the season to work on those set of skills. Hard-working player, very dedicated, quiet, doesn't say much, works hard, does his job, and very experienced player, so he's got a good, you know, instinctively reading blocking schemes, you know, doing things that experienced players would do. He definitely has that, and you can tell this guy's played a lot of football.
Two final questions. You got at least a couple guys. I mean, Dion too, and Tony Rowe football last year. When you go to sign a guy like that who hasn't played in at least a year, is there, do you look at it differently than signing another guy because there's no tape point? How do you go with the process change at all, I guess is what I'm saying.
I don't think it changes too much. I mean, you know, there's with players like that, there's a circumstance why they didn't play. You know, in Dion's case, it was injury. In Antonio's case, he played in preseason but then didn't play during the regular season. So, you know, it was preseason tape on him. But, I mean, you go what you can go on, which is what you have to look at. You evaluate his physical condition if that's part of the equation. And then whether you work him out or sign him and put him in your off-season program, and then at some point either continue to move along or continue or make the decision to not move along, then that's based on what you see with the time that you spend with working with a player. So, I mean, that's, is it different? I mean, I don't know. But in the end, it's basically what we do with every player. It's just his circumstance is a little bit different. I mean, all honesty, it's not that much different than having a practice squad player from another team that, again, there's no tape on him. I mean, you don't know what he did all year. He played in preseason, maybe was on their practice squad, wasn't active for any games, so it's similar to that.
Bill, with the officials here in these 3 days, would you ever go to them with maybe a new formation and play and consult with them about, hey, would this be legal? Can we do this for this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think that's what the whole point of the being with the officials is to understand their interpretation of the rules. And questions about anything that we're doing, we ask them to, you know, watch what we're doing and tell us, you know, what we need to do to make it legal or make sure that we're doing something properly. And at the same time, we know what we have to defend. So, you know, we've seen this team do this or we've seen other teams do this. You know, we want to make sure that we've got this right, what we're telling our players. You know, whatever it happens to be. So, yeah, I mean, I think the communication between the officials and the teams at this time of year, you know, is good. It's beneficial for everybody. It's good for them to see us. It's good for us to see and talk to them. It's good to kind of have a communication and get on the same page as to how various rules are going to be interpreted or called or kind of what the key thing is that they're looking for in making the call. So, you know, all that's helpful. I mean, I think Dean Blandino has done a good job of trying to have a good line of communication between the coaches, the teams, and the individual officials or the officiating department. And so that just helps all of us understand better what, you know, what we can do, what we can't do, and how to, you know, make sure that we all understand the rules that we're playing under and the way they're interpreted or the way that the game's going to be called. All right, great. Thank you.